Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
Adam Pac-Man Jones announced yesterday on social media that he is retiring after 12 seasons in the NFL. The cornerback entered the league in 2005 as a first-round draft pick out of West Virginia with the Tennessee Titans. The Buccaneers announced yesterday that they have agreed to terms with veteran defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. Suh is signing a one-year $9.25 million deal that, with incentives, could be worth up to $10 million. The San Francisco 49ers will be without second overall pick of the 2019 NFL Draft, defensive end Nick Bosa, who is dealing with a grade 1 hamstring strain. Bosa will be out of practice for the next few weeks while receiving treatment. Bengals will start the season without guard Alex Redmond. The NFL suspended Redmond for 4 games for violating the league's performance-enhancing drug policy. Redmond had recently re-signed a 1-year deal to return to Cincinnati as an exclusive rights free agent. The Raptors beat the Bucks 105-99 to take a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. Kawhi Leonard scored 35 points in the victory, and Fred VanVleet got 21 and hit 7 threes. Kyle Lowry added 17 for the Raptors. The Bisons are coming off a 4-3 victory over the Rochester Red Wings last night as they head to Lehigh Valley for the holiday weekend. First pitch is tonight at 7.05 p.m. Welcome to One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. Brought to you from One Bills Drive. Steve Tasker along with Joe Biscaglia. Joe, we're talking about, we've been talking about your observations over the last week, first week of OTAs. It's mm-hmm. been interesting to talk about some of the stories and some of the human drama of athletic competition. But it's been fun. But one of the fun things about this whole exercise is when you finally get down to really knowing at some point you're gonna have to say goodbye to some of these guys.
Yeah, that's the part of it that doesn't always end well, because a lot of fans develop these favorites. Like, I don't know, Duke Williams is a guy that a lot of people like. David Sills is someone that a lot of people like. I mean, there are loads of examples that are gonna end up on the cutting room floor.
Here's the thing, the interesting thing. Now, it's May 24th. Okay, so let's just pump the brakes a little bit on how set in stone this is. But I will say this. In my guy Joe's defense, last year, his way too early projection had 48 out of the 52 guys on the roster, folks. 48 out of 52. And that's not until early September. So, hey, that's pretty good batting average, right?
Hey, you know what? A blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while, right?
Listen, you found 48 acorns, man. What can I say? Out of 52. That was pretty good. You were right, too. You had Marcus. You missed Marcus Murphy, Robert mm-hmm. Foster. We all missed him. Jason Kroom we didn't get, and Deion Lacy.
And a lot of that was because, you know, they had substantial spring and summers before I could get a chance to really
after
put
this,
eyes on. Like Marcus Murphy came out of nowhere. Robert Foster stepped it up at the end of the preseason. Who was the other one I missed? I forget.
Jason Kroom and Deion Lacy.
That's right. Jason Kroom really came out of nowhere in the summer last year and earned a roster spot.
And here's the four guys that you had making the roster that didn't. As Austin Prohl, mm-hmm. Nick O'Leary, which mm-hmm. was probably a good pick. I mean,
right.
And then Tanner Vallejo, a draft pick, and Breon Borders.
If it wasn't for Jason Kroom, Nick O'Leary would have been on the roster. Tanner Vallejo was a former draft pick of the Bills,
right.
And Deion Lacy made him expendable because Vallejo also didn't have the positional flexibility. And then Breon Borders, that was a swing and a miss by me. I thought he had potential. He was long. It looked like he had some ability in the preseason with Oakland the year before that. Just a swing and a miss.
All right, there you go. So there,
yep.
And you just
it happens.
Yeah, 4 guys out of the 52 is pretty good bat. Just missing. That's a good job. So we're going to go down the list that you have, and we also got the roster. Now this roster, as you have it currently constructed, will be 53 guys.
Yeah. The reason why I put out a 52 is because I had AJ McCarron in there last year, but they traded him
right.
And they only kept 52 guys heading in right after the
right,
initial
right,
cut.
Right.
So
that's
so
right.
Yeah, 53 guys, 25 on offense, 25 on defense, 3 special teamers. And you know what I'm excited about, Steve? I'm excited about the punt battle between Corey Bojorquez and Corey Carter. Corey versus Corey. Pretty great.
Yeah, hold on to your hats for that one. Yeah, pardon me for sighing on that.
I will have.
I think Bojorquez is got a chance to be really good. I think he's going to be really good. He's got a big leg. He seems to have all the punts. He seems to be able to do it. But there were a couple, you know, particularly the fake field goal that he had last year that went awry.
He seems a little bit flighty.
He's got to calm down, take a deep breath, and start to act like a veteran out there who's seen some stuff.
But I'll tell you what, Corey Carter, had he stayed healthy and didn't have that terrible injury in the preseason game where a guy basically tackled him while his leg was up, I think he would have won the job last year. So
that's why he's here.
I say it only half in jest. I'm only half kidding because I'm actually really interested. This is a wide open punter job, but yeah, I'm sure people want to hear about things other than the punter with the roster.
Right. Well, we'll see. we'll find out.
Right.
Let's start with the quarterback. Of course, Josh Allen and Matt Barkley. That seems pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah. I mean, the only one that I think, and we're talking about players that fans would want to see make the team. I mean, Tyree Jackson is the story is there. UB guy. I mean, it's pretty clear that he has a lot of public backing in the area based on how well UB played last season, making the bowl game the way that they did. But the thing of it is, the only way you're keeping Tyree Jackson is if he truly looks like he needs to be kept to where you don't think there's a shot you can get him on the practice squad.
He's going to have three preseason games where he's going to take a ton of snaps.
Yes. Absolutely.
And he comes out and all of a sudden lights it up.
Then that forces your hand.
You've got a problem.
Yeah, it forces your hand, absolutely. But then you're in a spot where you're taking a third quarterback. And by the way, this is a Bills team that in the past 2 years have only gone into the season with two quarterbacks.
Right.
In 2017, it was Tyrod and Nathan Peterman. Last year, it was Nathan Peterman and Josh Allen. And not to say that it was a great idea because it ended up coming because they had Nathan Peterman on the roster, but they are not afraid of doing that. So in order for Tyree Jackson to make the team, he would have to be, you know, at best to start the season inactive every single week when that roster spot could go elsewhere to someone that can help your special teams, which is very – and we've seen Sean McDermott do this a lot with his roster and Brandon Bean the same. They believe very much so in keeping special team core guys that may not give you a ton on offense or defense. I mean, it might not be the best way to go about it, but that's their belief. And so that's why Tyree Jackson is going to have to look pretty good this summer in order to warrant a roster spot, I think.
Yeah, and I think, too, we're going to get so I agree with you 100%. There's no way Tyree Jackson is going to come in and can look possibly good enough to, like, start games or take over for Matt Barkley. He doesn't have the experience.
Right.
It's not the role the backup quarterback is going to play, and he certainly don't look for him to take over for Josh Allen anytime within the next 10 years. So it might be a point where, yeah, you can try him on the practice squad. If he goes away, you know, we don't have a spot for him for the next, theoretically, for the next 15 years anyway.
Right.
Maybe we can trade him. Who knows? But that being said, the quarterback spot is pretty much set. No question about it. Let's go to running backs. You've got LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, Devin Singletary. Pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Sonoris Perry and Patrick DeMarco.
With T.J. Yeldon being cut, yes. This is a hunch of mine. And, you know, with when you do these far too early, I'd even go as far as saying it's stupid because I spent way too much time.
You're doing it because you like doing it. That's why you do it, right?
Also true. And because people like reading it, too.
Yeah.
That's part of it, too. They want to see how the team could shake out. But you also have to play a hunch every once and again.
Right.
And for me, when we talked about the special teams guys, that's what Sonoris Perry is.
Right.
If Devin Singletary wasn't drafted by the Bills, if they don't take a running back within the first four rounds, I think T.J. Yeldon's probably safely on this roster, and I wouldn't really think too much about it past that. But because Singletary is there, because Frank Gore is there, because LeSean McCoy is there, I mean, that fourth running back that you keep is going to have to contribute on special teams. It is almost a requirement of that running back spot. And so that's why Sonoris Perry, who... that is where he cuts his teeth. That is his role in the NFL. That is what he has been, and that's his reputation. So that's why I have Perry in and Yeldon out, But and certainly people will be like, well, Yeldon signed a 2-year deal. Why would you cut him after training camp? Well, the 2-year deal is really only a 1-year deal that they can get out of with a minimal dead cap hit.
Exactly. So we'll talk about the running backs. We've got a call from Dave in Florida. Dave wants to talk to us about Frank Gore, talking about running backs, who's going to make the team. We've got LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, Devin Singletary, Snorris Perry. Dave, what do you think about Frank Gore and his ability to help the Buffalo Bills? What's your thought?
Steve, Joe, how are you guys doing today?
Great, thanks.
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
All right, great. Listen, I've been a Bills fan forever, my whole life. I'm down here in Florida, and I follow Frank Gore when he's at UM. I think everybody's overlooking a guy now because of his age. This guy is one of the best blocking backs in the NFL, and I think he's the one that's going to help the offensive line protect Josh Allen and help Shady McCoy make all his moves out of sweeps. This is my opinion. No one talks a lot about him, but that's the guy, okay?
Thanks.
Day and a nice holiday. I know she got a question for me.
No, it's good. Dave, I got it. And let me tell you, before I hang up on you, I agree with you. That's awesome. Thanks for the call. He's right. I saw Frank Gore play a little bit last year in Miami, and he was brought in by Adam Gase last year. You know, they were trying to kind of build a culture over there. Adam Gase brought Frank Gore in just for that because he was a leader, a veteran guy. He knew how hard he worked. He knew what it took to put together a kind of Hall of Fame-type career that Frank Gore has. So that's why he brought him in. And then it ended up they were handing him the football a bunch because that's the kind of back he is.
Yeah, they scaled him down from what he did in Indianapolis, which was smart because at that age, with that many miles on the tire, so to speak, he just couldn't handle that. But what you saw was a guy who on, I think, 150 carries around that range, he flourished. I mean, I think his yards per carry was like 4.6 last year, which, how old is he? 36?
He's 36 now.
I mean, you don't often see that. And when going back and actually watching his games, the reps that he ran, he wasn't moving around.
He's
like
a grinder.
I mean, he can still jump cut people. He still has the speed to get through. He has power. He's essentially a great complementary back to what they're doing, as long as what he did last year holds on. And I agree with the caller in the fact that, you know, this is someone who is a lot stronger of a blocker on third down situations than LeSean McCoy is. And that could be a path to playing time because then teams would definitely have to respect the run because they weren't really respecting Mike Tolbert a couple of years ago.
Right.
They weren't really respecting Chris Ivory a ton last year, even though Ivory played a little bit better than expected. But Gore's a different story, and I think he's going
to help the
room a lot.
And I think that's exactly right. I think they're going to bring Gore in, have him carry the ball 150, maybe 175 times a game, not even, maybe less than 160, less than 10 times a game, let's say.
Yeah,
And
that's
also,
probably right.
But also be on the field more than that as a decoy and also as a blocker, as a what have, and a receiver, that kind of thing. One thing that this does by bringing him in and then putting Snorris Perry on the roster, Marcus Murphy goes away.
Yes.
After a pretty solid year. Christian Wade, of course, probably won't make this roster.
Yeah, and then he's your 11th practice squad guy.
Right.
You get a free look.
Exactly.
He's fun to watch, by the way.
Exactly. He's got some ability.
Yeah, he can move in space, but I don't know that he's got a path to the roster this year.
But yeah, I think Frank Gore is a smart signing. He's going to be productive. They're not going to use him to carry the ball 200 times, but for less than 10 times a carry, it 5.5 yards a carry. Yeah, you got to have that guy on your roster. Okay, so you got 2 quarterbacks and 5 running backs, wide receivers. You got 5 guys, which this is always a juggle.
Mm-hmm.
You'd love to keep as many wideouts as you can because it gives you some flexibility in your offensive formations and your concepts that you can run. But 5 wideouts, you got John Brown, Cole Beasley, the 2 free agents. Of course, then you got Zay Jones, Robert Foster, and Andre Roberts.
Who they also signed in a free agent in the free agent realm. But
that's right.
The reason why you only keep 5 there is because there are so many other positions that require a spot. And I'm not ruling out them keeping 6 or even 7 receivers. It's going to be tough to keep 7 with the way the rest of the roster is shaking out. But if you can talk yourself into keeping 6. But the thing is, one of those guys that you're cutting from the pool of Duke Williams, Victor Bolden, Isaiah McKenzie, Ray McLeod, David Sills, Nick Easley, even who's an undrafted slot guy out of Iowa.
Cam Phillips, Damari Scott.
Yeah,
all these guys.
Cam Phillips and Damari Scott, by the way, both had a cup of coffee on the active roster last year for the Bills. So I mean, there are some guys that you can talk yourself into. I mean, Victor Bolden is someone that you should probably think about just because he is showing some signs of life in the spring, but. How can you, I guess, come to terms with not keeping someone from a different position? I mean, it's not about receiver versus receiver. It's about receiver versus safety, receiver versus cornerback, receiver versus, I don't know, linebacker, offensive right. lineman. What it's adds about your more ability, value to the team?
It's about your ability to go four wide and
have not a special only, teams guy, too.
Right, and not only going four wide, but if you're going to go four wide – no tight end.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever is your tight end's off the field, or you got one tight end on and no running back on the field.
Right.
So there's no room.
Right.
So and the question is, do you have four wides that put the defense in a spot where three wides and a split running back wouldn't put them? I don't think any of these group of receivers will do that. So I think five guys is probably plenty, because you still go four wide in a pinch if you want
right.
to, and you're only going to go, you know. Here's Teddy Marchabrota, the great offensive coordinator, used to say, listen, guys, you'll see this. He goes, we can run four wide, and we may only run it for 10 snaps a year, maybe 20 snaps a year. But 15 of those snaps will be in one game. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're going to
sure.
match it up, and that's the thing we're going to use. So, yeah, it's okay, but you don't. It's not your bread and butter.
And also, to your point, because that was a very good one, the tight end is something that really went – missing last year because they just didn't have the guys. But this is a part of Brian Daboll's offense, I think, that he wants to develop a lot more, having two tight ends on the field, and which is why it would almost dictate what you keep on your roster if that's what your offense is trying to do.
I think you're right, because as crazy as it sounds, they go into the offseason, they got one tight end on the roster. And it sounds like, well, what do you mean? He likes tight ends. Well, you know what? They wanted to pick them and get the ones they wanted. Croft is a great example of that. Tyler Croft, Lee Smith is going to play a role in that. And then Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney. Those guys, they've got some things.
Yeah, they do.
And Kroom has really turned, and I don't think there's any question that somebody got in, and probably in an exit interview after the season this last year, says, listen, you need to start working on this and this and this. If you work on this stuff, you got a chance to make this team, but you're going to have to get better, because we're going to draft some guys and we're going to bring in some free agents. You're the only one on our roster, and we're going to bring some guys in. We want to start. If you want that job, you're going to have to really work for it.
And he is a really hard worker. I remember him in 2017 when he was on the practice squad. I believe he got cut for a while and then was brought back to the practice squad. I mean, he was always after practice working with Rob Boris, the tight ends coach, and just trying to get better at his blocking. It has been an ongoing effort for him to get better at blocking. And last year, you know, had some signs of life in blocking, but still wasn't the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one area he needs to prove himself. That and securing the football, because he fumbled the ball and lost it twice out of 22 receptions last year. And one out of every 11 catches is not going to cut it in the NFL, and especially not for a fringe guy. So if he can improve upon those two things, he absolutely has a chance. He's a bubble guy. I think the Tyler Croft injury complicates things to where now you have to think about, okay, maybe do you –
For the time being, he may be in the mix.
Exactly. So with Tyler Croft out, if he goes into the regular season, maybe do you think about putting him on the PUP list and you know, figuring things out to where you have the flexibility to keep those four guys that we're talking about, Kroom, Sweeney, Knox, and Lee Smith.
Right.
But the guys that are not going away are Lee Smith and Dawson Knox. We said that earlier, but they are guaranteed to be on the roster. It's about Sweeney and Kroom,
and everybody
really,
else,
to me.
Everybody else, you know, when you get down to this place, thumbs up or thumbs down as to whether they can cover kicks, run on punt team, and cover punts. And
exactly.
That kind of thing.
That's another huge part of it, too.
So you've got four tight ends. That's two quarterbacks, five running backs, five wideouts, four tight ends. That gets you to 16 guys. You've got nine more guys to get on
offense.
Nine
O-linemen.
And they're all on the offensive line. Offensive tackles, I think this one's I was going to say easy. I don't think it is actually now. Deion Dawkins, okay. Ty Nsekhe, yeah, probably. Cody Ford, no problem. Mm-hmm. Adrian Waddle, maybe he's the guy.
Maybe you cut Adrian Waddle. He's probably the fringe guy, but then again, I mean, he gave you some he gave some valuable reps in New England, and I think.
But for the guys they've got on the roster, I think, and I circled it, and all these guys said okay. You know what? I think that's exactly right. Deion Dawkins didn't go anywhere. Ty Nsekhe isn't going anywhere, and Cody Ford, he's probably not going anywhere at tackle. He may, if he goes anywhere, it's going to be at guard.
Yes, exactly.
So he's going to be on the squad.
Yeah, I think Adrian Waddle is on the safe side of the bubble right now, unless he gets outplayed by Connor McDermott Blake Hance's
Garrett
was
McGinn.
Released. McGinn was practicing inside.
The Northwestern guy was released.
So DeAndre Wesley is now on the team, who the Bills had on their practice squad. But
just came back, yeah.
Yeah, but I would say if those four guys stay at offensive tackle, I would tend to think all four are on the roster. The only one who might be gone is Waddle, but I think he has a compelling case to make the team because, you know, you have young guys and you don't know what's going to happen with those young guys.
And that's your four offensive tackles. And before we go to a break here, we got a couple minutes, one or two more minutes. Let's talk about the interior guys. And this is where it gets a little bit a little bit of a tossed salad here. Mitch Morse is a plug-in shoe-in, no question about
it. Yeah, he's the starter.
But he's
the only guaranteed starter on the offensive line right now. How about that?
Probably.
Not probably.
I think Deion Dawkins is going to be there. Even if he does play guard, he'll start.
Yeah, but he's not locked into his spot. That's what I mean.
That's true.
Mitch Morse is the only one that's locked in, which is wild. 20% of your offensive line going into OTAs.
It was such a train wreck last year.
It was not ideal.
All right, here we go. So Mitch Morse, Spencer Long, Quentin Spain, John Feliciano, and Wyatt Teller, and which leaves the guys who may not make it is Russell Bodine, who was a big free agent guy last year, Ike Butker, Vlad Dukas, and Jeremiah Searles would be cut.
I think Butker is a guy that still has practice squad eligibility, so you can bring him back over there. And he's someone to develop. He gave some reps at center at OTAs this past week, so that could be something to develop in case of injury down the season. But the lack of flexibility or versatility, I should say, for Russell Bodine along that interior is my biggest hangup.
Right.
He has not played guard at any point in his career. He's always been a center. And, of course, he was in a starting capacity, so he never had to move around. But that has been him. We don't know if he can play guard. The other guys, we know Spencer Long can play both guard and center. John Feliciano can play both guard and center. Wyatt Teller, I don't think they're going to give up on him just yet because he was a fifth-round pick. He gave him some starts, and I believe they have the—
Once he was in there, they didn't move him.
Right. I believe they have the philosophy that— if he's in there, you can win with him in there, which is probably the litmus test for a lot of these guys.
It would be.
He was up and down for
sure. Settling.
They would be settling, but he also has the potential to get better because you know
he's young.
He's young. There's a lot of variance when it comes to young players, and because when he first got into the starting lineup, he actually looked pretty good. So you have to kind of.
It'll be interesting to see the effect Bobby Johnson has, the offensive line coach has.
Oh, I think he's going to have a massive effect. Yeah, Juan Castillo. I think it was a change that needed to happen. Also, for the fact that, you know, technically, he was the run game coordinator last year, and I don't know how that exactly went with having the offensive coordinator being Brian Daboll. That was kind of a weird thing, but. You know, I think Bobby Johnson, you could tell right from the get-go, strong voice, holding his guys accountable right away, not letting them loaf through through drills. It is not going to be a walk in the park. I don't think it was last year, but it's certainly not going to be one this year.
All right. Thanks, Joe, for that. That was your 53. We got through the offensive side. I probably won't have time to do the defensive side, but
that's
a little bit more stable anyways.
Exactly.
We all know who Bills fans are. Joe Biscaglia, Steve Tasker on One Bills Live. We're going to come back. We're going to do NFL True Falls and what do we learn, as well as maybe take a look at some video from Aaron Rodgers trying to guzzle a beer with his left tackle at the Bucks game last night. This is Buffalo Bills Radio presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. We'll be right back. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Joe Biscaglia. Murph will be back on Tuesday.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Along with the rest of us, hope you guys enjoy your holiday weekend. It gets started for us in about 27 minutes. But, Joe, I don't know if you – are you an NBA guy too?
A huge NBA enthusiast.
So you're enjoying the playoffs. They're pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah. The semifinal round was one of my favorite semifinal rounds.
And it's still going going on as the Raptors were in Milwaukee last night for Game 5. And, of course, in Milwaukee and you're in Wisconsin, it's Packer country. And David Bakhtiari, the left tackle of the – Green Bay Packers, was shown on the big screen. He picks up a big 16-ounce beer and tosses it down pretty easily. But since he's a left tackle, he reaches over and grabs another one and tosses that one off right too, right? So he scuttles two beers. He stands up, points across the arena to none other than his quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who picks up like two-thirds of a beer and starts to drink it in response.
Chugging's not for everybody.
And he struggles. He can't get it down.
He does.
He gives up. He says, no, I can't do it. And he points back to his left tackle, who says, oh, me? Okay. So he grabs a third beer and tosses that one off.
See, I'm no doctor, but three beers in 30 seconds cannot be good for the old
it's pretty bad for you and me. It's pretty bad for you and me, but for a 315-pounder, that's not that big a deal.
In 30 seconds, I think that's a big deal for anybody.
Joe, trust me.
Did you also see that Kristen Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers also chugged a beer on cam last night as well?
Trust me, I've drunk
one. Oh, here it is.
Oh, there he is.
Perfect.
He's right next to Bakhtiari.
And of course, he doesn't do it as quickly as Bakhtiari, and it's not a full beer like Bakhtiari.
He's already drank a little bit of his dad.
But you know what?
He did it.
He did it.
Joe, obviously you haven't spent much time drinking with 300-pounders as I have.
No, I certainly have not.
That was in my wheelhouse for a long time.
I could imagine.
And never try to keep up with those guys.
No. No, it's a bad
never
idea.
Never try to keep up with this. And Aaron Rodgers texted and tweeted at his left tackle, David Bakhtiari, across the way. He said, hey, make it scotch next time. Good for those guys. But the Bucks took it on the chin from the Raptors last night. They go to game 6. Is it back in Toronto?
That,
and the Raptors have a chance to close them out.
That
man.
City is going to be buzzing. I was just in Toronto last weekend, and that was when they were down 0-2, and the city was still buzzing. They are hurting for the Raptors to make it to the finals.
Yeah, and I've kind of got a soft spot in my heart for the Raptors because when my last guy, my last son, was in high school, he's the only one left in the house of the five kids we have, and we have this other a foreign exchange student. Sounds really exotic. It was an Italian kid from Toronto, right? Robbie.
Sure.
So Rob, who's one of, now he's part of our family, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
We all love him, right? So he's a big Raptor fan. So now I'm into the Raptors.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so he's the one who turned
me on. I've got a good team.
That's all going on, and we've been talking about the Bills and their roster sets, and now we're going to do roster setting and the numbers. And now we're going to do NFL True False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. You notice how I didn't have to read that?
Yeah.
That's a big thing between Murph
and I. That's muscle memory right there.
All right, that's right. All right, here we go. NFL True False number 1. Drew Brees is the best small quarterback in the National Football League. True False. What do you think, Joe?
Well, the only one that you can debate it with right now is Russell Wilson. Maybe in the future it's Baker Mayfield, but it's a little bit too early for that. But
you can go back in the history.
Flutie. In the NFL right now.
Okay.
I think is what we're talking about.
All
and
right.
I think I'd go with Russell, honestly, because he has worked with such terrible talent around him in terms of the offensive line. And the fact that he is still able to be upstanding and and doing all of those things and making plays
they
left and right.
They both won a world championship.
I mean, I look at Russell Wilson. He is just an incredible athlete, being able to do what he does. Drew Brees is great. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed Drew Brees. But where he is in his career, as opposed to where Russell Wilson is, still moving upward, I think I'd say Russell Wilson is the best small quarterback in the NFL right now.
So you're going to say false?
Yeah, Russell. I'll say false.
I'm going to say true. Certainly, at the current moment, Russell Wilson is right there with him. Drew Brees made it deeper into the playoffs last year with the group he had. He's the only quarterback in history to have thrown for multiple 5,000-yard seasons. He's done it like five times. Everybody else has done it twice. He is a small quarterback who is in the conversation for one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So I'm going to continue to ride him until he shows me he can't play. Last year, he got him to the NFC Championship game, and one of the most egregious non-calls in NFL history kept him out of another Super Bowl.
Who committed the non-penalty? Do you remember?
Nickell Robey-Coleman.
Nickell Robey-Coleman.
Our guy, or the subject of our conversations earlier in this show. Okay, so you say true, a false, I
said
true.
False. Yep.
NFL true, false, number two. NFL should keep the combine in Indianapolis. True or false?
You did the combine this past year.
We were there. Yeah.
Did you do it before that one?
I've never done it before.
Okay.
That
one. I'm a bit biased because I started going to the NFL combine in 2009, and I love it in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is just all in one place. I'm sure teams love it for this reason too, where there's not a lot of driving. It's a very walkable city. Even if it's a cold day out, they have their conference center to where you can get a bridge from hotel to conference center to stadium.
You don't have to go outside.
You don't have to go outside. Even to get into city center to the mall area, which is right in the in
we
the
all
heart
need
of the
to
town.
Go to the mall. While
well,
we're
I mean,
there.
There's a bunch of restaurants around said mall, but it's just everything is there. And the combine, for as much as it is the on-field activity, it's also the after the day wraps up activity, to where you have NFL agents and teams all in one place communicating off the record, but communicating in trying to develop their rosters as they go on.
I'll say this. It is one of the few places nowadays that isn't corporatized. You know what I mean?
Yes. I agree.
It's not incorporated. And because you go to even it used to be the commissioner's party was started out. It was a little cocktail party with the owners and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it was this $5 million open to
right.
the public.
Right.
Everything that the NFL touches seems to expand and expand and expand and become an event.
And this still is.
This is an event. And now they're going to have all their on-field stuff done in prime time now. So it's becoming more of an event. But at least it's a TV event that doesn't have to involve 75,000 people in the stands, right? It's still NFL people in the media, in the front offices, on the field, on the road scouting. It's all of those people. It's a very small niche.
Yeah, community.
So
for sure.
I get why you say, true.
Yeah, I'm going true.
Coming. I'm going to say false.
Why?
Only because I think I'm going to be right. They're going to move it.
They are going to move it, but, again, like I said, I'm biased.
And it's not about us.
I really like Indianapolis.
I do, too. It's a great, and you're right, that is a well-planned.
Very underrated city.
All right, and now, NFL true false number three. The NFL should be trusted to define what a Hail Mary pass is. Now, you have been keeping track of what's been going on with
this?
Oh,
I have.
Right, okay.
Yes.
So
now
the
they
NFL
have to
should
define
be trusted
it?
To define what a Hail Mary pass is. You know, I'll go first on this one. I'm going to say false. They'll never get to that. They are not going to let that happen. They realize the folly of what it is they're talking about. They're going to find a way around having to define what a play looks like.
Well, I will also say false. They should be trusted to define what a Hail Mary is. For the simple fact that the NFL couldn't even define what a catch was for almost 7 years.
Wow, good point by you.
What are we talking about here? Now we have to delineate what play and trust the officials to go, okay, well, this is a Hail Mary this time. And I know you can conceptually do it, but then you have the Belichicks of the world who are looking for loopholes about what a Hail Mary actually is, and so that way you can potentially challenge a play down the field, and then another set of rules have to come out. Just don't overthink it. I mean, I guess Hail Mary should just kind of be fair game.
All right, very good. That's NFL True False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. And let's have one little point of debate. We have Tom on the line from the West Side. Tom, I know you've been waiting for quite some time. You want to talk about the running backs and particularly the rugby player Christian Wade. So, Tom, you're on the air with us. Steve and Joe, what's on your mind about Christian Wade and making the NFL roster, the Buffalo Bills roster?
Good afternoon, guys. I realize he's not going to count against the 53. And by the way, Steve, you already got my vote, and Joe, You keep up the good work. You got my vote for the Buffalo Bills Sports and Media Hall of Fame.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it, Tom. What you don't think listen, if Christian Wade makes the 53, he does count against
yes,
the 53.
Yes, he does. That's true.
If he goes to the practice squad, he does not.
He doesn't count against the 53 if we put him on the practice squad.
No, not if he's on the practice squad. No,
correct.
Not at all.
But you cannot keep him on the 53-man roster without keeping him counting for one of the 53. That's the difference. Right now they have the exemption to where they can keep 91 players on the roster through training camp. But once they get down to final cuts, they either have to keep him on the team or they have to cut him, put him through waivers, and then if he gets through waivers, they can bring him back to the practice squad, which he does not count as one of their 10.
What's your point about that, Tom?
Clear waivers.
Go ahead. What?
I'm wondering, how does he look in development? Because he doesn't have the pads on yet, and that
right.
could be his biggest challenge.
You know right. what? Running backs are so weird to track during the OTAs because there's just no way to get a true gauge on them. I've been burned so many times by thinking a running back has been good in the spring workouts and then being like, oh, yeah, once the pads go on, they're not that great, or they look a little bit slower. What I like about Christian Wade, what I will say, is when he is in the open field and reading defenders, setting them up, he knows a lot about how to do that because that's rugby.
Yeah.
I mean, in order for him in order for him to be as successful as he was at that level, I mean, you have to be able to read which way the body is working, being able to set the defenders up like that. But it's the other side of things that he has to be able to do. Can he learn all the routes? Very simple thing. Can he learn all the techniques of route running?
Yeah.
I mean, can he learn the specific jargon that comes along with being in an NFL offense? I mean, he is basically picking up a book of Turkish
right.
yeah. and trying to read it by only reading English at this
right.
point. So now he just has to learn a whole new language. That's
right.
what it is.
Tom, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. One last thing I wanted to talk to you about before we go. Did you read, there's a little something there now. Donovan McNabb was asked by TMZ Sports about the quality of his career. And he said, and I quote, "I am a Hall of Famer. My numbers speak for themselves. My numbers are better than Troy Aikman's, but he has Super Bowl rings, and he's played with Hall of Famers as well." What do you think about that little debate point? Do you think Donovan McNabb is a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I do, but I don't necessarily think he should be throwing shade at Troy Aikman, so to speak. I mean, Troy Aikman has been – he's kind of become the guy that everyone kind of attacks for the Hall of Fame because his numbers mm-hmm. weren't great. He had a lot of talent around him, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They also made it. They were a highly successful team, and I don't know that they would have been the same without Troy Aikman. So, you know, you can slice it up however you want. But the numbers also are a little bit skewed here because he played in a different era than Troy Aikman. And, you know,
they overlapped 1 year. The end of Troy
yeah,
Aikman.
He got drafted in 99.
Right.
And Aikman was done in 2000. So, for McNabb, they threw it a ton with him at the helm. And Aikman, you know, they were depending a lot on Emmitt Smith and all of these things. And it was just a different game. Rules were changing as Donovan McNabb was in the league to where it was more of a pass-friendly system. So, I don't know.
Do you think he is?
I think he's a – sure. I mean
– I kind of do, too. You look at his numbers.
I don't get caught up in should he or should he not be a Hall
right.
of Fame debate
he,
all that much.
For a lot of reasons. The Philadelphia Eagles were a laughingstock organization before Donovan McNabb arrived. They got
Fair.
To four NFC championship games in a row. Of course, they didn't get to the game. They got to the game once, and that's the game where he notoriously got sick during the game. But Donovan McNabb carried that franchise on his back for the better part of a decade and did a lot of great things
mm-hmm.
for it and was a stellar competitor and a great quarterback. And I think he is a Hall of Famer.
I don't know if it'll ever happen.
I don't either.
Way too much politics for my taste.
It bothers me. It's a little bit distasteful to me to have a guy campaigning for himself out there like that. But
mm-hmm.
When he's asked, I you know, he said it, and I don't think he should shy away from it if that's the way he really feels. So, all right, more of that. I just want to get that out there. He said it, and it was kind of one of the things. So, good stuff.
Yep.
One Bills Live presented by Collider Health from One Bills Drive. We're going to come back to finish this up. From One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Joe Biscaglia, Steve Tasker on One Bills Live. We're going to come back and talk about what have we learned on the way to getting here. Murph is out for Friday. We're going to be gone for the weekend. So if you have a call or whatever, we may get to one call before we get out of here. But until then, stick with us. We'll be right back. What do we learn? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater and the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We spoke today about some of the more intriguing players we're going to be watching in this preseason, and the return of Matt Milano from a broken leg was one of those players. We asked Lorenzo Alexander about Matt Milano and his recovery from that injury.
He's looking good. I think he's had a lot of time in the offseason to rehab. You know, I was one of the guys that stayed around, and he was up here putting in the work. He's definitely bigger and stronger, I think, this year. He's actually our strength staff does a great job of pairing people together to work out with, and him and Julian Stanford have really been two guys to work out. And if you ever see Julian Stanford walk around here, he looks like a Greek god.
Looks like a pro athlete.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think they strategically put Matt alongside of him just to get him a little bigger and more robust this year so he can endure the impact that an NFL season has on your body. But he's still fast, still instinctive, and you can just see his growth. And I'm excited to see him take that next step along with Tremaine and see really what those guys do for a 16-week period.
That was Lorenzo Alexander, and what have we learned about Matt Milano recovering from his injury, presented by Advanced Alarms. And I got to thank our co-host today, Joe Biscaglia. Joe, thanks for coming in. It was fun. We had a blast.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's always a fun time of year to get into the OTAs when you first start to see these guys. Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for having
me. Awesome. I appreciate it. No show on Monday. We'll be back Tuesday. Murph will be back from vacation. Enjoy the holiday weekend, everybody. And thanks to our production assistants, George Blas, Jeff Koltenek, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, and James Roble, and, of course, our producer, Jay Harris. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Enjoy the holidays.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.